That parak, which we just finished, which was parak Chaf Aleph, is one which we, if there was time, we should have just zipped through those last sentences. Parak Chaf Beis is a completely different discussion altogether. It's actually, as you can see in your new packets on page 358, that this is a song, which is known by some of the commentators, that this is known as Shiras David, the song of David. And in fact, if you look in this packet, which is pretty huge, because you know it's lyrics, and sometimes there's multiple meanings when you hear a song. Songs often have different meanings to different people, brings people back to different feelings. So that's certainly why whenever you find a Shira in the Torah, there's so many mefarshim that are attached to it. Starting off in the English, before we even touch upon Pasuk Aleph, in Perek Chaf Beis, if you look on the top left on page 359, it says it is typical of David that he focuses not on his travails, pursuits, suffering, and rebellions that married his life. To him, everything, even the difficulties, were signs of God's kindness, because he was firm in his belief that everything that God does is for the good, even though we do not understand why or how. And it's obviously a very, very powerful message that is easy to say and very difficult to internalize, the message of Gamzul Tova, that whatever happens to an individual is in fact for the best. And certainly when a person is in the middle of suffering and pain, it's very hard to be able to truly understand why these things are happening. Hopefully we'll have some insight as we see the Shiras David, how he really feels and how we should try to try to have such an attitude. Now this, as you can notice on the right, on page 58, is also a Haftorah, which we say every year, specifically when it comes to Hazinu. Hazinu, which is toward the very, very end of the Torah, happens to be a nice short parsha, also happens to be a very hard word because it's considered to be a shira. Hazinu is also a song, which begins, Hazinu Hashemayim v'adaberu v'tish maratim refi. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. May the earth hear the words of my mouth. So as we know, when it comes to a Haftorah often, its purpose is to reflect or to show some connection in comparison to the Torah reading. One of the reasons for that, just as a sidebar, is because there was a time in which the Jewish people could not actually read a Torah reading, a public Torah reading, and therefore the Haftorah is to give us a flavor of what we were missing. And of course, now that we can do both, nonetheless, we still do both because of the past traditions. So before we begin this, I actually want to share with you what it says in the English, in the Stone Chumash, regarding this Haftorah. It's only two paragraphs. Popularly known as Shiras David, which is what we're going to be reading, the Song of David, this Haftorah has the distinction of being one of the few chapters in Scriptures that's actually recorded twice. It's found here in Sefer Shmuel Beis, in the 22nd parak, but it's also in Tehillim. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I read it today. Bye.
Which is Kapitel Yud Ches, chapter 18. So it's interesting that this is the case. So this actually became part of Tehillim. And we'll discuss whether Hashem considered this song a good song or not a good song. We'll share that in a moment. Abarbanel, in his commentary to Shmuel, is of the opinion that David originally composed this song in his youth, when he was still deeply involved in many of his problems as well as his misfortunes. So he was in the middle of these issues when he was reading this, when he was writing this. He created it to be an all-inclusive psalm that would relate to every woe which could possibly occur in his life. Throughout his long life, David kept this psalm at hand, reciting it on every occasion of personal salvation. So he would say it when things went well, but just when a person has a good song, sometimes you have a good quote that carries you throughout the difficult times in your life, better times in your life. So that's how David did this. This was something which gave him the strength and the focus on how to be able to endure the challenges that life presented. So it says as follows, one more paragraph. The original version appears in Shmuel, which we'll see in a second. And the version in Tehillim and Psalms, amended at the end of David's life, differs from the original in a number of minor variations, which is discussed in another Sefer. The second version, which is in Tehillim, is not a triumphant song of personal victory. Rather, it is a record of David's personal feelings, which he gave to Israel as a gift, for them to use as a prayer and as a consolation in times of distress. He who seeks to meditate in solitude, he who seeks private communion with the Maker, he who seeks to pour out his anguished soul in fervent prayer. All of these will find in it the precise words with which to express the depths of their feelings. So sometimes we don't really have the ability to articulate how we feel. So we can take a song or a quote from someone else, and that's how we're able to get meaning. So it's interesting, it was written twice. It's two different purposes. Again, according to some, this was written earlier in his life, and then Tehillim was written later on with some small changes. So let's begin this lengthy parak, which, as you can just go through the packet, you see it's obviously a lot of pages, and it's also is a lot of commentary. So we're going to go through it as well as we can today, and pick up the rest next time. Vayedaber David LaHashem, as Divrei HaShir HaZos. So the parak begins and says that David spoke to Hashem, Divrei HaShir HaZos, the words of this song. Biyom Hitzel Hashem Oso Mikaf Kol Oiva Mikaf Shol. On the day that Hashem saved him from the palm, from the hand of all his enemies, as well as from Shaul. Well, Shaul was one of his enemies, so one could look at this pasuk and say, well, why does it have to say the seemingly redundant part of Mikaf Shaul? We already know that he was one of David's enemies. So if you look in Rashi over here in pasuk Aleph, Rashi says as follows. Biyom Hitzel Hashem Oso. So he says, unlike what we said before in the Stone of Chumash, Le'esik Naso. This was said, not literally the day in which Hashem saved him, but today is a day in which I'm certainly safe, because I'm now in my later stages of my life. Le'achar She'avro Lav Kol Soro Sav. After all of the distress that I had to undergo, it's over. And I was spared and saved from all of them. So, according to Rashi, Rashi says that this is perhaps in some level of order, but this is already toward the end of David's life, that he chose to comment on these things, where he can only sing Shir at this point, after he's safe, when there's no longer certain tests and tribulations that he had to undergo throughout his life. So now he can reflect on all the things of his life. Again, that's certainly a different interpretation. That's how Rashi interprets Le'esik Naso, that it happened later on in his life. So the next Rashi does address the question that we had as to why the Pasuk needs to say that Hashem spared me and saved me from all my enemies, and then it mentions Shaul. Well, Shaul is one of his enemies. So says Rashi, Mikaf Shaul, V'lo Shaul b'chalal hoya. Says, wasn't Shaul in that general category of all of his enemies? El Shahoya oivo v'roidful mekula. It comes to teach us that when it came to enemies, Shaul won first prize. And therefore, for that reason, he deserves a special mention in this pasuk. It's not just that I was spared from all my enemies. I can never forget my biggest enemy, enemy number one, the one who constantly pursued me, that I was running for so many years away from him just to save my life. And this is not something which is really unusual. This is something which we find in other sections throughout the Torah. It says Rashi Kiyotzebo, we find similar. For some reason, Rashi needs to give us a few different proofs to this. Tisha Sir Ish V'Asot. It mentions 19 people And then it mentions only one person's name. Obviously, that one person is more chashuv. Kiyotzebot, it says in Sefer Shmuel, Lechuru es aretz, why don't you go and see the land? That's Yericho. Why is it to say go and see the land and then say go see Yericho? Yericho is part of the land of Canaan. So again, it's all-inclusive, but nonetheless, special emphasis on something in which has greater chashivas, something more important, or something which is more in the forefront of one's mind. So the king Shlomo had wives, and he also had a wife by the name of Bas Paro. So obviously Bas Paro, the daughter of Paro, is one of his wives. But again, because she was special, therefore her name was mentioned and excluded. So too, in the end of this pasuk, even though of course Shaul, it should be included in Kol Oyvav, all of my enemies, nonetheless, he deserves special recognition. So that's how David, why it's written in this particular way. If we look in the English over here, on the left side of page 359, it's brought down in the Alkot Shimoni that when it comes to this song, there's not a lot of songs throughout Tanakh. He brings down that this is one of the 10 sacred songs of history. The 10th will be sung Yemetz Hashem when Mashiach comes. But this is one of these few times in the Torah in which there is a song in Tanakh, in Navi as well. Now, is this a good song that you're singing about the enemy and how, God, I'm so glad that you saved me, that this guy Shaul is killed? So it's brought down in the Mishmas of Zahav that not the case. In fact, the Gemara tells us, and it's not in our package, just want to share, it's only two lines, Shakodesh Baruch Hu Ba B'tayin El David, that Hashem had a complaint. He was upset at what David said. Amar She'amir Shira on the Foil of Shaul. That he should construct a song dedicated to the downfall of this great man. Shaul was a great man. To the point that we spent half a parak last chapter discussing how he was not buried properly. He did not have a proper eulogy. And because of that, all the Jewish people suffered in a famine. So obviously, just that he was chasing after David, which maybe was a mistake, but that doesn't deserve that you should write a whole paragraph or a whole chapter which is bashing and humiliating Shaul. The Gemara continues and says as follows. V'kach nemar sham. Amru lo kodesh baruch David. Hashem said to David, David, shir at omer on the fault of Shaul. How could you have the audacity to make such a song? The Amali Ata Shaul Behu David. You're lucky. Because if it happens to be because of my prior relationship to you that you're such a great man, Avadati Kama David Mifanov, I would have destroyed many Davids before you. Which basically what it means is that you're lucky that you are who you are, that you're such a great person, David. Because if you weren't so great, then you would have been destroyed for having done such a thing. And what exactly does that mean? So perhaps one could understand, as we know, Hashem judges everyone, midah keneged midah. A person who is generous and a person is dan l'kav zchus, judges people favorably, gives people the benefit of the doubt, is kind and generous, so Hashem overlooks. You make a mistake, it's no problem. When a person is exact in punishment, that you get what you deserve, Hashem says, oh, that's the type of person you are, so that's, of course, how you'll be treated. So, it's not smart to create a song, David, about the downfall of your enemy, that you're rejoicing that this person has fallen. Because all it does is it causes me to now look more like with a microscope at your actions. And if it wasn't for the fact that you were the great person, you could be punished for that. Which goes to not only the idea you're not supposed to rejoice when your enemy falls, but over here to speak about how happy you are that someone was punished, Hashem says, one second, how about you? Maybe you deserve to be punished. To be very careful what is said, especially to make it part of a song as David did. Pasuk Beis. So now let's see what this song is all about. Vayomar, so, and he said the following shira. Hashem, Sali, Umasudasi, umalti li. So these are seemingly they're the same words, which is not a problem generally when it comes to writing a song. There's allowed to be a lot of repetition in a song. Hashem sali, you're my sela. Sela is a rock, right? What is the significance of a rock? So if we look in Rashi, Lashon Chayzeh came, Sela Kamashma'o, something which represents strength and power. Something when a person uses the expression that you're my rock, something in which is permanent, something in which is set. It's in a world where things change, in a world where people come and go, it's nice to know that someone is your rock. That's a foundation that you can always know will always be there for you. That rock will never be uprooted, will never leave. And that's what Hashem is. In the situation where David is up and down, he has his good times and his bad, he always knows that Hashem is there. That's a sela. That's the permanent, the permanence of this huge rock. Is what God is in our lives. That even when things are not going so well, we can always turn to Hashem. Hashem will always be there for us. When things are going well, we should also come to that same source. Umesudasi. Umesudasi is translated as my stronghold, a fortress, a shelter. Right. So it's some type of protection that God gives me. That if in the challenges and it could be the distress that David had to undergo, so by creating, we create walls around us to not be injured emotionally, injured physically. So by having God in our lives, it's a way to be able to protect us on that level as well. Mefalti li, Mesud Sion says, Matzili, Hatzala, Hashem saves me throughout all these challenges. Okay, so that's the beginning of his song. Pasuk Gimel, Elokei Suri Echasebo. So again, he throws in the rock business. Hashem is my rock, Echasebo, which he protects or I'm covered and shielded by him. So if we look before we continue the rest of this pasuk, when it says Elokei Suri Echasebo. If you look in the Mesudas Sion, in the Pasuk Gimel, Suri again is Meloshin Sur V'Sel, that's a rock. V'Kafel Devarav, B'Mil Hashonos K'Derech Hashir. When it comes to a song, it's not like, oh, this is redundant. In the Pesukim, every letter counts, and there can't be an extra letter. But we know when it comes to a song, every song has a lot of repetition. The chorus is again and again and again, over and over and over, because that's the focus. It's trying to drive home a certain emotion. That's the purpose of why songs repeat themselves. It's because there's a certain emotion that you may or may not be able to connect to. And that's the same thing when it comes to a song in the Torah. That David is trying to emphasize that Hashem is my rock. And therefore it's not a problem that it's repeated over and over again. And also we know that not only when it comes to a Shira, but when a person is in distress, when a person is having difficulty, to say something once maybe not be enough. To be able to, again, to review in your mind again and again and again certain messages, even the same message, in order that you begin to truly internalize those feelings. And therefore, that's perhaps why it says, again, Hashem is Suri, again, is my rock. If you look on the bottom of the last Rashi over here, on the last line, Suri is Lashon Sela, Shasela Mechasel Oivri Darach, Min Hamatar Baruchos. That it's able to cover and protect a person who is traveling on the road from water and wind. So it's a person could stand by a rock, like sometimes if it's starting to rain out, and you're by a store, and they have those awnings in front of their store, so you see a bunch of people walking over there, maybe you'll want to walk down an entire block, so you're just going, you know, right up against the building to protect you from the harsh elements outside. It could also be the wind. And therefore, that's what Hashem is. That when the external, when the outside world is harsh, like the harshness of the rain and the wind, by coming closer to God, by just like getting close to that building so that rain doesn't get on you, and that wind isn't so strong right next to those buildings, so too all the difficult times in David's life and in our lives, of course, is what the reason why it's here, is for us to learn from, also Tehillim for us to be able to learn from, to tap into, is also that by we come closer to God, then our problems become less challenging.
It's the source of his strength.
What's that?
Hashem. The source of his strength.
Right. Yeah, and that's, so by coming, recognizing God is a way to alleviate
always
certain...
Always going back to that strength, to that source of strength.
Right.
To the roots.
I once heard an expression, which I may have said before, instead of telling God how big your problems are, you should tell your problems how big God is. And but perhaps that's what David is saying over here. Right. Right. So he's, as long as you recognize the greatness, the power of God, so everything else really falls to the wayside. Everything else is nothing. It's child's play. It's insignificant. And that's how David perceived this. If you look at this other Rashi just translates the words Echasa, Loshin Kisui. It's the language of a covering. Shahisim Eschasa LeEzra. That I was using God as a way to cover me up to be protected. So by Hashem embracing spirituality is a way to be able to strengthen oneself, certainly in the difficulties and uncertainties of the world that we live in. Okay. Continuing in the middle of Pasuk Gimel, Magini V'Keren Yishi says that Hashem is Magain, is like a shield, V'Keren Yishi, and he is translated here as a horn of my salvation. Right, Keren is a horn, which we'll see why is God a horn? What does a horn represent? Miskabi and my refuge. So before we turn the page, we look in the Radak. The last redak on this page, on page 358, which is not underlined, Bekeren Yishi, Derech HaMikru L'chanois HaChozek Bekeren. When we mention something powerful and strong, we often, in Tanakh, refer to the horn. K'mo V'Karni Reim Karnav. L'fi She'ail V'Hashor V'Harayim Chizkom V'Koicham B'Karnehem She'hem Minagchim Bahem. That if you would want to take away an animal's ability to defend themselves, is to cut off their horns. A horn is a way to protect them. And also to do negicha, to gore another animal, to be able to defend themselves. That's what a horn represents. It's strength, it's power, it's control. It's that you're in complete control. And perhaps it's not just telling us that Hashem is strong, but it's saying that Keren Yishi, Hashem is my strength. It's not me. All the victories, all the things that I was able to somehow survive in my life is not because of, not wasn't my doing, it was because of God. Continuing Pasuk Gimel, rather, in the next page, Umenusi, again, someone who protects and saves me, Meishi Michamas Teishieni. These last three words become famous and people make connections between the second last word I just read. But it says, you save me from Hamas. Translated here is injustice. But if you look more specifically in the Mesudas Sion, Hamas is le'inyin, is ke'inyin gezel. Stealing, right? Hamas really means stealing. You save me from someone who is taking things away which do not belong to them. Those people that try to take things away from me, which we know certain people that tried to take away his malchus, being a king. So these are things that were taken away. Of course, go ahead.
Stealing is not Hamas. Hamas is stealing when you're looking at, when you see someone coming to take what's yours, of course. You can steal when you don't see. You come at night and you steal and you don't harm anybody. But Hamas is by force.
Geneva is.
Hamas means force, right. Well, that's...
That's not taking. That is
by force.
That's on some level, that's what Gezel is.
That's it.
It's the same thing, right? Because you're not You're doing it out in the open, and I'm ripping it out of your hands, so I'm in control.
That's danger. It's not only taking away. It's taking away the threat of your life, by force.
Right, right. So that is, and of course, just as a little political piece, when people in Parshas Hazinu, when they read this Haftorah, they're reminded of a certain group in the Middle East, which has the same word, and which, of course, enjoys also taking things which perhaps did not belong to them. And terrorizing as well. Right. So it's interesting that's the same word. Okay, something worth to think
that's
about.
That's why they call themselves Hamas. Of course, the meaning of the word. That's why they call themselves Hamas. It's the same word.
They don't mind that negative connotation? That's the word. Okay. Let's see one more pasuk. Pasuk dal muhulal ekra Hashem umiyoyvai ivasheya. Interesting order of what he says over here. He says that he will praise Hashem when he calls to him. When I call to Hashem, I praise it. And then afterwards, I'm saved from my enemies. So he says Hallel, he praises Hashem, and then he's saved. What?
You know, I said you'd think that it would be the other way. He'd be saved from the enemies, and then he'd thank Hashem.
Exactly.
But it's like.
Exactly. And if you look, you're right. And that's what a lot of the Mefarshim pick up on. If you look in Rashi, Pasuk Dalet, the second line, he says that I called to him with praise. Lafi, because kimi oivayani boiteach shoyishaya. I already have the faith and the trust, I have the bitachon, that Hashem will spare me. So I'm already up front able to praise Hashem because I know that things will be okay. Which is an amazing level of
soul.
Faith.
That's what he said, Kathy. You are my soul. You are my rock. I trust you. I lean on you.
Right.
I know you are always there.
Right. Exactly. And that's exactly what he's saying over here. And he absolutely entrusts everything that's going to happen. If we look in the Mesudas David over here, Mehulal, Kashani Kora El Hashem Behalel, Oz Ani Noishaya. He says that from the time in which I call out to you, Hashem, in praise, then I will be spared. I will be saved. And just for the last couple of minutes, this kind of gives us an insight as to what to feel of what praying is about.
In the Shemot Esrei, you thank Hashem first.
We ask for what you want. And we acknowledge Hashem. We mention Modim toward the end of thanking, but it's all even before we end up seeing it actually happening. Because the whole idea of Shemot Esrei is not nagging and asking God for things. That's not what the prayer is about. Because you would imagine that if you would have someone, which I may have mentioned numerous times, they have a kid that asks for a cookie, and they say no, and then again they ask, and again they ask, yes. I said no already. So why in our Shemona Esrei, why do we pray every day for certain things? They haven't happened, so why are we nagging God? The idea is that that's not the purpose of what prayer is. When we say, Refueinu Hashem, we're not just asking God to heal us, but we're acknowledging that He is the source of being able to be healed. That is
the
recognition. To acknowledge His... Right, exactly. To acknowledge His power.
And my daughter used to say, she used to come over to me, "Mommy, I love you so much."
The idea, what I'm trying to say, is that what David is showing is that even before he actually received anything, he would still feel the ability to praise and to connect to God. Because the purpose of prayer is not to ask for things, per se, but to recognize our dependence on God for everything. And therefore, that's the reason why we do so all the time, every day. and in the morning, the afternoon, at night, to show that every moment of our day, everything that we have to acknowledge that God is the source of those blessings. What? That's right. That's right. That's what we have to constantly admit to and acknowledge. And that's what David is doing here as well. That David is telling us that this is the proper formula. That even before I am spared, I still have to give hallel. I still have to give praise. But to go full circle, we mentioned before that the purpose of this Shira is to teach us that everything that God does is for the good, even though we do not understand how that is the case. And therefore, what David is perhaps saying is, I automatically praise Hashem up front, because I know that even if I don't understand why things are happening to me as they have, but I can immediately say hallel because I know that Hashem has my best best interest in mind and heart. And therefore, that's the reason why he was able to be Mohulel Ekra Hashem before, even before Hashem saved him from his enemies. We'll stop here.